Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 12, the first part of the Ten Commandments. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven, above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing love to a thousand generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day for keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. The New Testament reading is in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 23, and that's you find on page 1088. When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one place from top to bottom. Let's not tear it, they said to one to another. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled that said, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there, and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, Woman, here is your son. And to the disciple, here is your mother. From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Great. Well, let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. And as we return today to consider these, this kind of most foundational part of your word, the Bible, these Ten Commandments, we pray, Lord, actually, wherever we stand with you, whatever we think about you, or however well we know you, that you'd be teaching us more about you, about ourselves, and about the good news of Jesus. And we pray it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Okay. With a war breaking out in Europe this week, you can't help but feel something like honor your mother and father seems terribly kind of small and parochial. I mean, frankly, what difference does it really make how you treat your mum and dad or how your little kids treat you as their parents when there's a war raging across, a few miles across in Europe? And yet, you know, as I've prepared this, I think I've come to see that it makes all the difference in the world. If God's design for life is a stable, just, peaceful society, if you imagine that as a beautiful building that is built, okay, a stable, just, peaceful society, what are the bricks that make up that building? Well, I think that the vision of the Bible is that the individual bricks for that beautiful building of a just, peaceful society is the fifth commandment: honor your father and mother. Actually, what happens at home is like the brick out of which everything else in society is then built. So what you're doing with your kids might not seem significant in the context of world events. How you treat your parents might not seem significant, but actually, when all of us do this, this is the thing that builds the kind of world that God designs for us and that we see so clearly in the Ten Commandments. I hope we'll see something of that as we look into this together today. But quite apart from the big picture, it is a very practical question, isn't it? Honor your father and mother. I mean, all of us were born, okay? I take that as read. All of us were born. That means all of us either have or have had a mum and a dad. Okay, I understand that families aren't always straightforward or binary, but one way or another, all of us have had or currently have parents. All of us have to navigate life with parents or as parents, those of us with little kids like ourselves at the moment. You know, what is my vision for my four-year-old? What should they be doing in life? What am I aiming for them? Or as they grow up to teenagers, what's the goal there? What's the vision for me as I try and look after teenagers? Or for those of us who are kind of heading out in early adult life and we're no longer dependent on our parents, but they still have a significant role in our lives, how does that relationship change? What am I meant to be doing with my parents at this stage of life? Or for those of us with aging parents and they're increasingly dependent on us, other people, frail, what am I meant to be doing? What are my responsibilities? These are practical questions all of us have to navigate and deal with. And God has given us a simple rule right at the heart of the Ten Commandments. Number 5, honor your father and your mother. It's wonderful to have Thanksgiving for Rebecca today. And this is something I know which Debbie and Yaku would love for us to be praying for Rebecca, that she learns to honor her father and her mother. And it's a reminder that actually, as a whole church family, even if we don't have little kids anymore, or indeed any children, or indeed parents who are still alive, all of us have a responsibility to love and support those in our church family who are parents, who have young kids, who have older parents as well. We're all in this together, whatever our particular stage might be. Bit of context might help us just remember where we are. So here are the Ten Commandments, and you remember that they're kind of split in two halves. So 1 to 4 is all the commandments relating kind of directly to God, how we relate to him. And then the second half of the Ten Commandments are all those kind of other people facing things. Jesus has this in mind. Do you remember when someone says, what's the greatest commandment? And he says, the first one,
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God of all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay, that's his summary of the first four commandments. But then he continues and says, the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And that's Jesus's summary of the second half of the Ten Commandments. Okay, so love God and love other people. And what we've been seeing together in these Ten Commandments is that contrary to how some people might view them, these are not a God exam. Okay, it's not that God sets us an exam, and depending on how well we do in the Ten Commandment God exam, he either will or will not accept us. That's not how it works at all. We saw that the people of Israel, who these commandments were originally given to, had already been rescued by God, by his grace. And for Christian believers, we are rescued by God's free grace through Jesus. He died for our sins so that we can be freely accepted into his family. One of the things that the Ten Commandments do is actually to show up the fact that we all have something we need rescuing from. As we measure ourselves against God's standards, we think, boy, do I fall short. Well, praise him. He's given us just the Savior we need. But when we accept his Savior, once we enter, as it were, God's family, he says, look, there is a way to flourish in life. I'm the maker. I created all of this. I know all about it. And I'm going to tell you how you can flourish. And here it is, summed up in 10 words or 10 commandments, how to flourish in life. So if you like, there are kind of charter for life, a maker's instruction. And in God's design for life, here's the thing which we're going to see. Loving your neighbor, or the second half of those Ten Commandments, loving your neighbor begins with honoring your parents. Really simple idea. Loving your neighbor begins with honoring your parents. So for the rest of our time, we're going to basically ask two questions about this commandment. We're going to ask why and how. Why is it so important? Why is it right there, heading up the second half of the Ten Commandments? And how do we actually live it out? If we're followers of Jesus, how does this actually kind of play out in our day-to-day lives? So first question then is why is this important? Now, I guess if you ask people, what is life fundamentally about? People would have all kinds of ideas about that. One of the kind of implications of the society that we live in, even if people don't always state this kind of in a black and white way, is that life is basically material. Okay, it's a material world. And, you know, maybe people say, well, we don't really know about God. Maybe he's there, maybe he's not. But what we do know about is stuff. So stuff is the thing which is really at the heart of life, material things. And you're happiest when you get the right stuff to kind of prop up your life. And that's one view of life. The Bible has a very different view, and it says this: fundamentally, life is relational. It's not fundamentally material, although it is material. It's fundamentally, at its heart, relational. That's the thing that sums up what is most important about life. Or as Jesus puts it, love God, love others. That's the big idea. That's what we've been created for, relationship. And that helps to explain why God places this commandment, honor your mum and dad, at the top of the list of this second half of these commandments. Because here's the thing. A child's relationship with their parents is the foundational relationship of their lives. Okay, or to put it another way, how a child relates to their parents becomes a template or a pattern for all of their other relationships. So, a child who learns to honor, listen to, respect their parents is laying down foundations for every other relationship in their life. In a very real sense, by learning to honor mum and dad, they're also learning to honor, listen to, respect their teachers, their political leaders, their employer, their elders, their spouse, their church community and church leaders. This in other words, this foundational relationship ripples out into every other relationship in life, which is exactly why God in his infinite wisdom puts it at the top of the list. He says, look, if you want to live well in the world, this is where you got to start. Honor your father and your mother. But the amazing thing about where this command is placed is it actually works in both directions. Okay, so I've kind of reorganized it there. Okay, we've seen how it kind of heads up the second half, but it also kind of underlines the first half. Let me try and explain. God has made this world with a structure of loving authority. It's just how he's made it. God is loving, our loving Father. He made us. We belong to him. And to flourish in life, we need to learn to submit to his loving authority. Okay, we need to learn to trust him, to obey him, to love and honor and respect him. Okay, we need to learn that it's not always good to do my own thing in my own way. I need to learn to submit my desires to his. Now, here's the question. What has God done to enable children to learn this loving authority structure that the world has been made with? Answer, he's given them parents. He's given them parents to model it to them. Okay, learning to honor and love mum and dad is the training ground for a child to learn to honor the loving authority of their father in heaven. Okay, so can we see why this command is important? If you like, a home or a child's relationship with mum and dad is a training ground for their relationship with God and their relationships with other people in the world. Okay, it's a training ground for life. Which is why in Exodus 20, he finishes this command by saying, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. This is a part of flourishing. Home is the place of character formation for children. Home is the place of spiritual formation as parents teach and instruct their kids in the ways of their loving Heavenly Father, and together they learn to submit to his authority. Okay, home is also the place where the dark reality of our sin is first exposed. Just think about it. For those of us who've had kids, or those of us who've had who've known kids very closely, kids, even at a very young age, isn't it amazing how they kick against their parents' authority? Even when that authority is very obviously being directed in a loving way that is for that child's good, and yet still they kick against it. We see that first at home, and all other kinds of issues of the human heart get shown up in a child very early on at home. We see how they vent their murderous anger. And that's not a hyperbole. If they knew how to kill their little brother, they probably would. You know, but by his mercy, they don't have the tools, so they don't. But we can see it in the heart from the earliest stage, can't we? We see it. Okay, we see their capacity for unfaithfulness, stealing, deception. Goodness me, it all comes out at home. And so parents have this role of teaching their kids about the Savior who can forgive and transform them. And we also have the role of teaching and disciplining our children in the way that is right, God's way. See, this commandment, honor your mother and father, comes with the assumption that mum and dad are laying down the way that is right for the kids to follow. And the reality is that kids just left to their own devices. The reality of sin in the world is that kids are just going to be left to sin's corrupting influence without mum and dad there to teach the way that is right. And when all of this works as it should do, it actually makes it very simple for our kids. Okay, us adults, we have 10 commandments to try and get our heads around. But if you're a child and if your parents are doing what they're meant to be doing, you only have one thing to remember. Listen to mum and dad. Listen to mum and dad, because they are going to be teaching you the way that is right. It's such a good setup, isn't it, that the good Lord has made for us. Okay, so that's our first point. Why is this command so important? That's the why. And we're going to finish by thinking about the practical question, the how. How do we live this out? Now, the reality is that this is one of those commands that changes as you go through life. How you honour your parents as a five-year-old is clearly different to how you honour them as a 50-year-old. It changes. And yet, the foundational principle remains the same all the way through. We're going to think practically about both of those. For dependent children, what does it mean for them? And for adults, what does it mean for us to honour our parents? But before we do that, let's just think about the kind of foundation of this. The word in Exodus is honour your father and your mother. The word that comes from it, a Hebrew word that literally means heavy or weighty. It's the word for glorify in the Bible, for those who know their Bibles. And the point that's being made is that living this out at every stage begins with an attitude towards your parents that is weighty. I consider mum and dad to be a weighty responsibility in my life, a weighty thing, an important thing. Okay, so look, here we go. An illustration for you. Here's my 16 kilogram weight, and here's a feather. When it comes to your parents, how do I think of them? Okay, am I thinking them with the kind of the weight and the gravitas that God asks me to? Or are they just a kind of an afterthought in my life? Heavy or just inconsequential? An afterthought. Well, whether we're 5 or 50, God says, look, your parents needs to be a heaviness of how you think about them and honour them. So let's get a bit practical then, and let's think about how this is going to play out for younger kids and for us as adults. Okay, so here's a little passage from the Gospels. This is Jesus as a child. Now, why were you searching for me, Jesus asked. Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house? But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. So looking at mothers, I think you'd treasure it if your kids were obedient to you as well. So Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor of God and man. So Jesus as a child, just a little snapshot, he's obedient to his parents. Honoring your mum and dad as a child looks like obedience. And you get that picture in Ephesians 6 as well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it might go well with you and you might enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, honoring parents for children means obeying their parents. Okay, so parents among us, you are not called first and foremost to be your child's friend. You are called to be their loving authority. So work towards and expect your children to obey you in your parenting. Okay, we need to help our kids move from but mum, but dad, towards, yes, mum, yes, dad. I don't know how we do that, by the way, but I know that that's what we all need to be doing, and we need to be helping each other to get towards that. We need to do it in a way that doesn't exasperate them, help them to understand why we're asking them to do what we're asking them. Like, you don't ask them to do arbitrary things, because otherwise, when it comes to the important things, how can they distinguish between the two? And we need to lovingly discipline our children when they disobey us, in order to help them to obey. And we do all of this not because we're on some kind of power trip, and actually we must be aware of our own sin and just be careful about not becoming overly controlling in our kids' lives. But ultimately we discipline our kids because we love them, and their obedience to mum and dad lays a key foundation for all of their life. If you believe that, then you are going to make this a priority in your parenting as well. Now, listen, there are limits to obedience in the Bible. Any authority structure can be abused. And wherever a government or an employer or a parent requires of somebody something that God forbids, or forbid something that God requires, then the Bible's really clear. You go God's way every time. But they will be exceptional circumstances, we hope. Teenagers, just a word on teenagers. Contrary to popular opinion, children don't transform into uncontrollable creatures at the age of 13. Okay, there is no reason why we can't pray for and expect our church to be full of godly, Christ-like teenagers in the years to come. Okay, kids who love and honor and respect their parents, teenagers who are a blessing to the world. Now, clearly, how you relate to teenage children is different. There's much more give and take, but God's desire for them is the same, that they honor and obey their parents. And we need to help them to do that as parents as well. And don't kind of believe the lie that as soon as they turn 13, you lose all control. God's design remains the same. And in this whole business of parenting our kids, the whole church family needs to help us with this. It is challenging, and we need to be there for each other. We need to be a community where there is advice and prayer and encouragement as we seek to lay these kinds of foundations in our children's lives. Okay, so that's dependent children. Let's finish off then thinking about how we do this as adults. And there was that wonderful passage that we had read, that David read for us earlier. This is right at the end of Jesus' life. Jesus saw his mother there. He's at the cross. And the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time, the disciple took her into his home. Isn't that wonderful? It helps you to understand how Jesus applies this commandment to adults. And it's this: honoring parents as adults looks like caring and providing for your parents. Okay, even on the cross, Jesus doesn't neglect to do this with his mum. I mean, just consider the circumstances. Jesus is under intense personal suffering. Now, I'm just talking for myself here, but if I wanted any legitimate excuse not to ring my mum and dad, or to kind of just keep them on the back burner, what I consider a legitimate excuse is I'm under a lot of pressure at the moment. Okay, I'm going through quite a hard time. Things are really tough. I just don't really have the bandwidth to cope with being in touch with mum and dad as well. Jesus is on the cross and he makes time for his mum. Not only so, but on the cross, Jesus is accomplishing the salvation of the world. Okay, for those who are new to the Christian faith, this is what we believe, that when Jesus died on the cross, he bore all of our sins so that you can be completely forgiven. And simply by trusting in him, can have a restored relationship with God now and for eternity. That's what he was doing on the cross. That was an important job. Now, here's the other big excuse that I often bring out to play for neglecting my parents. I've got so much important stuff on at the moment. I mean, I'm really busy at the moment, and the stuff I'm doing is really important. I mean, look at all this church stuff that I'm doing, all this ministry stuff. That's important, isn't it? Jesus is accomplishing the salvation of the world. There is nothing more important. And in that context, he makes time for his mum. Striking, isn't it? And so it's not surprising that Jesus reserves some of his fiercest words for the Pharisees, who said it was fine. And you can read this in Mark chapter 7. They said, look, don't worry about giving money to your parents. As long as you give it to the temple, that'll count just fine. Jesus says, you are hypocrites. You are rejecting the commandments of God for the sake of your made-up traditions. Because when it comes to honoring mum and dad, Jesus saw that as the weighty thing that God always said that it was. So here are just a few key words then that might help us think practically about what it looks like to honor parents while we're into adult life. Respect. Okay, I'm not called to obey my parents in quite the same way once I'm an independent adult, but I am called to respect them, to take their opinions and advice seriously, to listen to them, not to dismiss them as old and out of touch just because they can't use an iPad. Okay, expect wisdom from them and they will deliver wisdom to you. They're not short of it. They've had 25, 30 years more life experience in you. Of course they've got more wisdom than you. Listen to them, respect them. Time. Make time for your parents. Life is busy. Oh goodness me, we all know it, don't we? Visit your parents, phone them, plan a holiday with them. Forgiveness. Some of us have had very difficult relationships with our parents, perhaps even abusive relationships. That's a tragedy when that happens. How do I honor parents who are not worthy of honor? Well, you start by praying that you might be able to forgive them. I think that's where it starts. For those of us who have had that kind of experience, I pray that I might be able to forgive them. I will probably need to put in clear boundaries to break negative cycles of control, but I do that in order to pave the way for some kind of meaningful relationship going forward. And for those of us whose parents are not believers and have had difficult relationships with them, we do this as a witness to them as well, and they see the power of Christ at work in us. Honoring our parents, for some of us, will look like forgiving our parents. And finally, provision. Okay, what do I do when mum and dad can't look after themselves anymore? Now listen, there's no right answer to this. Do I relocate to be near them? Maybe. Do we relocate them to be near us? Maybe. Do you pay for specialist care in a home? Maybe. The key is not the decision that we make, but how we think these things through. Do I consider my parents with the greatest possible weight? Or actually, do I consider my own convenience with the greatest weight when we're thinking those kinds of things through? And remember, how your children see you treating your aging parents is likely to set a model for how they will learn to treat you in due course as well. There's a lot, isn't there? Simple words, honor your father and mother. Foundational for society, foundational for how we learn to relate to God as our Heavenly Father. And if, like me, you feel convicted, well, remember, that's part of God's plan with these Ten Commandments, each of them revealing how far short we fall in God's design for life. And yet, wonderfully, we have a perfect Father in heaven who has given us his perfect Son, who perfectly obeyed, even to the point of death on a cross for us. So that even in our disobedience to him, to our parents, we can be completely forgiven. We're going to ask him for fresh power by the Holy Spirit to pick ourselves up and to seek in his strength to honour our mother and our father. Well, let me pray as we finish. Thank you, Father, so much for the godly parents that you've given us. Lord, goodness me, I mean, we all know that parents are flawed and we make mistakes and we get things wrong. And yet we thank you for all the good that has come from our parents. Help us to honour our fathers and mothers. Help us to support each other as a church community in doing that. Help us relate well to our kids at whatever stage they're at. And Lord, help us to realise that even with these kind of weighty matters of global conflict in our minds at the moment, that the building block begins with that basic relationship at home. And we pray that you'd help us to honour you with that this coming week. In Jesus' name, amen.